with a big win this past weekend in San Diego against Loyal, Orange County now moves up to fourth in the Western Conference table and number one in the USL Championship power rankings. I think number three in, you know, John Morrissey's rankings, which is pretty cool still. I know not everyone in the soccer world is excited about it, but I know I am, and I know most of y'all Orange County fans are excited about that as well. We've got some fun stuff to talk about, so let's get right into this. Welcome to the Podcast of Champions. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. Follow us on Twitter at @OCSC_SoccerCast or on Facebook at Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
How's it going, Orange County? Welcome to another episode of the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. I'm your host, Ray Samora, and I'm here to take you through this journey as we discuss all things Orange County Soccer Club. Let's see who's helping us out for this episode. First, the gentleman from Vegas, and that is Brad, who is doing some sort of dance. What's up, Brad?
Why not? Just in a good mood. North Carolina FC got announced that they're going back to the championship. Let's be honest, the Triangle area in North Carolina deserves a team, in the USL Championship, and I'm just happy they get that again.
And who says we don't have Pro Rel in the USL Championship already? Also helping us out for this episode, we've got the bearded one, Mr. Larry. Larry, you were missed in San Diego, but I know you were supporting from afar. How are you doing?
I am good. And let me just say, is there a worse possible venue TV wise to watch a game than Torero Stadium? I mean, basically you're looking at it like this.
Well, I can't remember if you've been there, Larry, but that's what it feels like when you're in the stands. I think many of us were talking about like getting like vertigo, a fear of heights, whatever you get when you're trying to make your way down those bleachers.
Oh, that is why producer Andy mentioned something about almost going hind end over tea kettle going down those stairs. It could be just because, you know, Andy is an older guy, and as we become older, we start to lose our balance.
See, I think you're talking too much because our producer brought in our next helping us for this episode. That's someone that contributes on our writing end of things for us, and very smart person when it comes to this sport. That's Tyler. Tyler, question for you. Can you throw a better right-hand hook than the guy from your Guardians?
So that would be Jose Ramirez, and no. We were talking before that, you know, relatively speaking, it wasn't a great punch, but in terms of baseball punches, it was pretty good. But no, I'll leave that up to Jose because he's got it covered.
And then to get to what we're really talking about, how are you feeling after Orange County's results this weekend in San Diego?
San Diego is always fun to play against because it's my brother's team. So we get to kind of jaw back and forth with one another. He was doing something, so he wasn't able to, I think he was seeing a movie. And then he came out and he texted me. He's like, "We lost 3-1. What happened?" And I'm like, Tomas Among showed up and decided that he wanted to score against y'all. So that's what happened.
And I will take that. I was there. I made a rare appearance at an OC match, and it was on the road in San Diego. Here's what I'll say really quick. And again, I didn't even call out the score. 3-1 victory for Orange County over San Diego in the hostile territory. And a great showing by the Orange County supporters and fans in that stadium. I didn't count when I was there, but there was at least 50, if not closer to 60 or 70 Orange County fans throughout that stadium, not all just in the one section. As you walked around, you saw a lot. I know I brought a few extras for this match. And from what I heard and what you read in social media, it sounds like the San Diego supporters actually showed some respect and said we came out with some passion, some noise, and made our presence felt. So before we even get into the match, I got to ask this question. I'll ask each of you, Brad. You know, in the past, really, Phoenix was sort of our biggest rival just because of the recent competition between the two in the league and competing for Western Conference stuff. I don't think it's as much anymore because the teams haven't been as great the last few seasons. Is San Diego now that number one rival for Orange County in your thought or your opinion?
I mean, I've always thought of San Diego as consistently a good team that that I don't like playing against, mostly because I don't like the antics. And I'm not talking about the protests, walking off the pitch stuff. I believe that they are on the right side of that. I'm talking the flopping and time wasting and playing sissy, like kind of like weakling and trying to draw cards. And it's not fun to watch. And every time you see the good guys win a game like that, it's always extra good.
How about you, Larry? What are your thoughts on it? Do you now look at San Diego as probably Orange County's biggest rival when it comes to the league?
Yeah, I kind of think they have to be. Whenever you have two teams that are just so close together geographically, I mean, we're talking 90 miles stadium to stadium, and you know, there's no more Los Dos, so can't really count them. They were a little bit closer, but yeah, with San Diego being right down the road, I would have to say that they are most likely our main rivals, followed up by, you know, by Phoenix, and then, you know, but there's some other teams. I can't even remember the name of them because none of them right now are playing as well as Orange County Soccer Club.
That's a good point there, and we'll get into that. We'll talk about that definitely. Tyler, your thought. San Diego, are they now officially the top rival for Orange County?
Yeah, I think it has to be San Diego, just proximity alone. I think that makes the most sense. You have the most, I think, kind of cross-pollination in terms of traveling fans. So it always feels not like a hostile environment, but it feels like a charged environment. And I think those are the best times when there's no, you know, in the stands issues, people are behaving themselves, like a little bit of, you know, jawing is fine. So with that, I think we get the most of that from San Diego. So because of that, I think San Diego is probably our rival at this point.
There we go. Let's talk about this match. Orange County falls behind early to San Diego, but are able to stick through. A couple goals come through from former San Diego Loyal player Thomas Among. Luckily, he's now playing for Orange County, so it helped them out. And then the sealer late in the match from Corday Oshendina. I think it was our producer Andy had mentioned in some chats, I can't remember exactly where, but is, hey, Orange County went down, but this is probably the first time this season I felt like I'm not too worried about it. I think they can come back, and they probably will come back. What happened in the last 2 months? Well, let's talk about Smash first before we get into that. Brad, your thoughts on this match, Orange County's performance, and how they did against the bitter rivals in San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, San Diego with a really, really, really solid opening goal. You can't take away from that effort by Conway. But Orange County, they came to fight, and it's just good seeing Among having a game, a world-class game against his former team. And like, what else is there to really say? The team's still coming in with their plan. This game easily could have been 4-1, and it was just a really good effort from the guys.
Definitely a good effort. You talked about that first goal, Brad, and I'll go to Larry on this next question to find out what he thinks. We talked about that first goal. I want to say Alex Villanueva probably didn't have his greatest appearance for Orange County. You could tell he's a player that hasn't been getting many minutes this season, so not, you know, quite top form. Is that your thought of it, Larry? Is just that he needs more playing time? If he had been playing all season, probably looks better out there. Do you blame him for that first goal for any reason?
No, I don't blame him for that first goal. That was I'm going to give all the credit. I hope there's some San Diego people listening right now, because I am going to give all the credit on the planet. That goal should be up for goal of the week from Conway. It was just beautiful. It was great. I don't know who made the pass to him, but got in behind Dylan. Dylan stumbled trying to catch up, knew if he went, you know, two steps more, he was going to take him down and it was going to be a red card. So Dylan made the right decision. But then that little behind the back dribble, I mean, that was straight out of Steph Curry right there. That was a basketball court move, not a soccer pitch move. And then to just left foot it, and just there was nothing Colin could have done to stop that. So it was a beautiful goal. Alex was rough in this game, and the rust showed. Not taking anything away from the kid. He's a fantastic player with a bright future, but he had a rough game. So, and it showed he hadn't been on the pitch in a while.
Tyler, let me come to you on this. So Orange County goes into the half down 1-0. Again, probably 2 months ago, we're all looking at this as, okay, mark this down as a loss. We got to get ready now, figure out what's going to happen in the next match. But over the last 2 months, Orange County has proven that they don't give up, that they'll fight, and that they can pull out victories in these types of situations. That's why we sort of like to say at this point they're the hottest team in the league, because they're definitely showing that type of tenacity and grit. What are your thoughts? When did you first see that, yeah, this is going to be a victory for Orange County? When did you get that first inclination?
I think after the equalizer, it felt like the momentum shifted a little bit. And in terms of just overall what shifted, I feel there's fewer lapses, like mental lapses, especially in the midfield over the last couple of months. I mean, you look at that last goal. I mean, that was all set up by Ashish, and he had great spatial awareness. He read the ball perfectly, and then he fed the ball. So that's not something we would have saw in April and May. I think team would have got caught flat-footed, and they would have been out of position and probably would have conceded another goal, but you're not seeing that anymore because they're engaged for the full 90 minutes. And I think that's been the biggest contributor to this run of success we've had over the last 2 months.
Brad, let me ask you this. Because I feel like, and maybe this is just me, just because things didn't go so well over the last few seasons at the beginning of this season. I feel like with Coach Carlson, we have a coach now who makes tactical changes mid-game that really make an impact, whether it's key subs, whether it's, the tactical, just changing the pressure, changing formations, just changing what we're doing out there. But I don't feel like we saw as much of that in the later stages of Braden Cloutier. I don't think we really saw that with Richard Chaplow. Now, credit to Chaplow, during the championship run, we didn't really have to do that because we started off with a tactic. It worked for the full game. We got a championship for the rest of that season. But I feel like with Carlson, we're seeing some more tactical evolution and changes throughout the matches. Are you seeing that same thing as what I'm seeing with that?
Yeah, I definitely think that Carlson, not only is the team coming away with a plan, like, or changing the plan in the game, but you can tell the plan going into the game is a lot better than under Chaplow. And it has nothing to do with Chaplow being wrong. It's just the team looks more prepared under Carlson. They're executing better off the transitions, and they're just doing a better job of executing.
Yeah, and Larry, I think we've talked this before, but we saw that come into play in this match too with Ocean Dean at the end there, sort of putting the nail in the coffin, is that speed at the end of the match. And let's be honest, San Diego was pressing high up the pitch, so they were leaving themselves very vulnerable for that kind of counterattack with that kind of speed. And that's where this comes into play is, I mean, if you look at the two last defenders, they are a good 10 yards past the center, the halfway line. There's no way they're going to catch up to Ocean Dean there. And he finishes very, very solidly there to seal the victory for Orange County and take away any hope that San Diego had. Yeah, I didn't ask a question, but give your thoughts on that.
I can comment without a specific question. Yeah, that was a great pass. Was it Milan or was it Brian who made that pass? I don't remember. But it was a great pass to have the vision to see him. And then, you know, Correte, just his natural God-given speed right there. That looks like it's frozen on Brian. I think that's Brian. I mean, you can't catch up to that. I mean, he's dribbling a ball and the guy's catching him, but he's dribbling a ball. And the finish was absolute top tier. And, you know, having been a head coach in both basketball and baseball, you can sometimes overmanage your team and try to do too much when things aren't going right. Well, little things aren't going right, and Carlson is just making, on appearance, every single right decision that needs to be made. Bringing in Correa when he needs to, bringing in Bryce when he needs to, bringing in Ash when he needs to. Just everything is clicking right now. And I mean, you just got to give so much credit to the gaffer. He has turned this team around and they look great. I couldn't be any happier with how they're playing.
So we look at this, the end of the match stats. I mean, possession went to Loyal, but, and I guess Orange County was caught offside quite a bit, but the rest of the stats look pretty even there for this match. Tyler, what was it about Orange County's attack or game plan that sealed the victory for them? Like, what did you do? Is there anything you saw that they did that other teams have tried against San Diego or other teams couldn't figure out against San Diego Loyal?
OC is more comfortable on the counter now. I think if you look back at, you mentioned possession, if you look back across several games across the last month and a half or so, you'll see that OC is typically losing in possession. But as we saw on a few of the goals in this game, they're more content to watch for mistakes from the opposition and then steal a ball and then make a couple of quick connections through the midfield. I said it last time I was on that I think that's been one of the biggest changes, is that they're more willing to play on the ground and actually have connections through the midfield as opposed to kicking the ball over the top and trying to and get goals that way, because teams were just sitting back and then they would intercept those. Or if it got past them, they would just outrun our attackers and then stifle the attack. So now they're not, because OCSC is not doing that every single play, defenses don't know what to expect. And so we can implement that over the top strategy when needed, but more often than not, we're seeing these nice connecting passes through the midfield, which is allowing us to get in better positions and score. And I think that was really on display during this game with Loyal.
Yeah. Just playing really calm and really controlled. Mm-hmm. That was something that I wanted to say to piggyback off of what Tyler was saying. When we are getting the ball, there's calmness. There's no panic. There's no, oh shit, got to kick. Sorry. got to kick the ball downfield. Andy, bleep that out. 7 second delay. There is none of that. And it's just, it makes them look great. Yeah. That clip from the Monterey game that Andy's playing right there. That's one of the most beautiful pieces of controlled soccer that I've ever seen Orange County Soccer Club play in the 6 seasons I've been coming to games.
Yeah. That clip just looks like straight out of a FIFA game when you're just hitting the pass button, 12 times. Like, that's exactly what they did there. And it worked really well because, like you said, they're controlled and they're calm.
Yeah, whoever was controlling Orange County, the opponent's getting frustrated because you can't get to the ball, right? But here's the thing, right? And this may be, come with Coach Carlson joining the squad. Typically in USL Championship, yeah, it's good quality, but you tend to see a lot of, bad passes or passes that don't reach their intended target. And I think what we're seeing with this Orange County team is you're seeing, not with just Coach Carlson, but some of the European influence that has been brought into this roster for this season. You're seeing that European experience that's coming in and actually controlling the ball a lot better. That midfield that we have with Kevin Partida, Kyle Scott, Ashish coming in matches, they are dominating possession in the midfield. When you look back at the last couple, two and a half months, they're the catalyst for what Orange County is doing. And they're allowing this quick attack, quick counterattack style that we've been seeing out of Orange County. That's really working for them. And teams can't seem to stifle, because if you drop back to avoid that counterattack, then our midfield is just going to possess that ball and really just try and break you down. If you go try to put pressure on the midfield to get them to release the ball, now we're coming with you, finding those lanes behind the defenders, like we're seeing in that Monterey Bay match, in this match here against San Diego. I believe in the Memphis match, we saw similar things happening. It's one of those things that I think it's clicking. I think we're finding out where, how this team was built out for this season. It just under Richard Chaplow just wasn't working, unfortunately, but with now Coach Carlson and this roster, it's really, really fun. Brad, I want to get to you really quick before we move on. I know for those of you who weren't watching, we did have an image of the game flow chart on the screen earlier, but that's probably the nicest game flow chart for Orange County this season that we've seen, right, Brad? I don't know if you got a chance to look at it. And he's got the mute button. He does it
and once Brad's an episode.
I do it once an episode. No, the game flow chart, you know, it's all canyons for where Orange County scored. San Diego had good possession, but in the final third, Orange County's defense just steps up every time and gives them, you know, it's okay giving a shot, but not giving them a good quality shot on target is what Orange County is doing really well right now. And they're finding the open opportunities on the counter and definitely making teams pay.
Awesome. So let's talk about this because we actually don't have a match to preview this week. The Orange County has the weekend off. They don't have their next matches, not till next Wednesday. So we won't talk about that until our next episode. So we actually have a little bit of time now here to talk about sort of, I guess, what is this? We're a little past midseason at this point, I believe. But let's sort of talk about where we are with Orange County at this point, how the players are looking. We'll just sort of dig into this. And that's one of the reasons we're glad to have Tyler on here because he probably pays more attention at least than I do, which is awesome. But let's talk about this because, again, it's been a really weird season. John Morrissey has been given props to the way Orange County's been playing as of late. I believe Mike Watts had a tweet out about, you know, what a difference Orange County is looking like now, going from bottom of the table to fourth. And actually, if the season ends right now, we host a playoff match, which I don't think anyone except for maybe Ashishada believed that was possible a few months back. Let's figure this out. So how are we feeling as Orange County fans? How are we feeling with this team right now? I'm going to go to you first, Tyler. What are your thoughts on your sort of mid-season, little past mid-season report on Orange County SC?
We have enough, I think, data points at this point to conclusively say that this is the new expectation for this team. I think when we had the changeover in head coach, I think there was still a little bit of hesitancy to see, is this just kind of a blip on the radar, or if this is a fundamental shift in what the team is going to do. And so at this point, I think that you could probably look and see that they've played better in more games than they've played poorly. That's not grammatically correct. But at this point, they've all but dug themselves out of the hole that they were in after those first 2 months. And so they've been playing at above the pace at which we would expect them to be in order to make the playoffs. The problem being is that they had dug into so deep of a hole early in the season that when you average it all out, they're still kind of behind the pace I had initially wanted them to be at. So right now you can see the chart that Andy's got up. OCSC, if they play at the pace that they're currently on, and that's taking into account the first couple months of the season, they would end the season with 48 points, which is about where I expect the home playoff line to fall, somewhere right in that area. You can also see that there's other teams that are right around there. So SD Loyal, they've got a bunch of games in hand. I don't know why, but they do. So they're projected around 51 points. Colorado Springs right around 49. El Paso 52. So that middle of the playoff table for the West is all bunched up together. I think OCSC is playing better than the rest of that group. So if they continue on this path, they'll host a playoff game, no problem. August is going to be a challenge because they are facing the top team in both the East and the West, and then the number two team in the East as well. So I think when we look back at after August, we're going to see really if this team is poised to host a playoff game. But we shall see, because right now I think they are in the best position to continue to rise up the table than anyone else in the West.
Well, let me just, again, you mentioned, Tyler, this projected points is based off the entirety of the season, including that really poor start for Orange County. So if we weighted it for the form that they're in over the last couple months, the projected points is probably a few points higher than what we're seeing on there. Obviously, that's really tough math to do, and it's really hard to figure that number out. But just sort of simple thought would be maybe 4 extra points on there or something like that if the form that they're on right now is continuing.
Easily, like June and July, they went 7-0-2, which that's across 9 games, and that's 21 points, which that's 2 1/3 point a game. Which if you extrapolate that over an entire season, that's 79 points, which is absurd. So yeah, that's why I say June and July is probably more indicative of how they're not going to play that well. Like they're not going to play at a 2.3 points per game pace the rest of the season. It's just, it's not going to happen, but they don't have to. They can play at a 1.5, 1.7 point per game pace, and that'll be enough. Cause if you look at after April, they were playing at a 0.75 point per game pace. So very, very large disparity between the first couple months and now.
I'm going to throw on my like weird random site stat that makes me excited, and we can maybe alter the projected points for San Diego based off this stat. And we do see some of these teams that we're going to be competing with for playoff position coming up soon is, I believe, over Orange County's last 5 victories, which includes what, Monterey Bay. Who else have they played in that time? They lost to RGV, we know that, but Monterey Bay, Loudoun, Memphis, New Mexico, and then San Diego, we don't have any stats on, but over those last 5 victories, none of those teams have amassed a victory after playing Orange County and losing to them. So, you know, if that trend continues, we might see San Diego go on a little bit of a losing streak, which will help the point race for Orange County. And you know, I did try to warn Alan when he was on last week that that's sort of what's happening, and he sort of brushed it off or laughed a little bit at that, didn't take it seriously, but that seems to be what's happening with Orange County. And you know, we have upcoming matches eventually against a Sacramento, against an El Paso, against a Colorado Springs, and against San Antonio, who, you know, their fans think our current form is fool's gold, and this is not the Orange County that there may be. Larry, let me get your thoughts on all of this that we're talking about.
You know, Tyler mentioned about the schedule and the toughness of the schedule here in August. And honestly, 2 months ago, watching the team play and knowing what was coming up in August, my personal thought is, come the third week of August, our season's over. We're done. No hope. No hope whatsoever. Right now, I have no fear as a fan of this team, as a member of the podcast team. I have no fear of any team that we are going to take the pitch against. Pittsburgh, Charleston, Sacramento coming up. Sacramento, right? At the end of the month?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I have absolutely zero fear and complete and total confidence in this team. Are they going to take 9 points off of the 3 best teams, the 3 best records in the league? I don't know. But if they did, it would not surprise me right now today how this team is playing. 2 months ago, those 4 games, San Diego, Charleston, Pittsburgh, Sac, I would have thought, boy, I'll tell you what, if we can just get 3 points out of those 4 games, great. And I didn't think that would happen. Totally different mindset, total different feelings. I mean, I'm still going to love the team. They could go 0-34 and I will still come out and cheer, and I will still come out and do this podcast. But, the way they are playing right now, it is a thing of beauty to watch. And one of the funnest parts is again, going back to the creativity that they have been showing, for the last couple of months. That was the big thing that we all talked about early in the season. No creativity. And now there is just so much, and there's so much consistency. And we go down 2-0 to a good Memphis team. No big deal. Come back and win 4-3. Go down in the first 5 minutes, 1-0 to San Diego. Shrug it off. No big deal. We got this. That's just that is what this team is given to us right now, and it's amazing to watch.
It is, and I'm going to go to you, Brad. What are your thoughts of the way Orange County has changed this team? What player or couple of players are sticking out to you as far as being key parts of this revitalized Orange County team that's now maybe scaring some of the other teams?
I mean, you got to definitely point out Kyle Scott. Kyle Scott is the one person who is controlling the midfield. Everything's going through him. He's finding these amazing passes, but it's not just Milan scoring anymore. Among scored. We've seen multiple goals from Sparky. And the team is just, you know, going back to what was just said about how they're playing creative. The team has the plan as soon as they get the ball, and they're transitioning and actually making good on it.
Let me go, Tyler, back to you. Mm-hmm. Early in the season, we had basically one number one keeper in Colin Shuttler, played the opening match or two. Then we signed Cody Cropper, who had MLS experience, was supposed to come in and sort of take over that role. Really struggled with Orange County, never claimed it, and then ended up retiring midseason. In that time, Colin Shuttler earns the spot back and has never let it go. He, you know, a month or two ago got the nickname Shutout Shuttler for some great performances. He hasn't been doing all the great shutout stuff consistently, but he's been a really solid piece to this team. And this is something we looked at. And again, we've talked about this, the similarities to the championship season in 2021. In that season, there was this sort of keeper battle between Patrick Kurkowski and I can't remember the other goalie off the top of my head right now. I had his name in my mind. I apologize. Who wants to help me out here?
Abraham Romero.
I knew it was Romero. I just couldn't remember the first name. But there was the battles. There was like the midseason where I think Rakowski got sick or hurt and took off like a month. And then he took over the role and just kept it the rest of the season and dominated. How big of an impact do you think Shuttler's performances since he's regained that starting spot? What part of the run has he played?
I think it's fluid between him and the back line. It's a chicken or egg scenario. Is Shuttler more confident because his back line is giving him a better foundation to build on, or is the back line more comfortable because they know that their goalkeeper is going to pick them up if something happens? It's both. And I think we've seen this back line has become consistent and it's become very strong and they work well with one another now. And that I think helps Shuttler because he knows he's got a good four man back line in front of him. And then on Shuttler, I feel like there's probably a little bit of pressure off because, like you said, this is his position now. It's he's not having to fight for it. There's not this worry that a Cropper is going to come in and take over his spot. And so it allows him, you know, athletes are creatures of habit. And so you have to have consistent playing time. It's what we were talking about with Alex earlier in the episode, that he was a little rusty because he hasn't gotten playing time. And so because Shuttler is that consistent number one, I think he's played a big part of it. And secondary to that is the support he's getting from his back line that I don't think was there early in the season.
I pulled a Brad. I was muted for a moment there. Let me go to you, Brad, because Tyler brought up, you know, a big part of Shuttler's performance has been the defense. Danny Peterson left the squad a month or so ago to go back home, the captain's armband is sort of handed off to Marcus Nakim. He's been probably the biggest and the most consistent part of that defense. Yes, Dylan Powers has transitioned from that sort of defensive midfielder presence to an actual defender at this point. Owen Lamb has been amazing. And then we've seen some substitutes filling in positions. Other, I mean, Dogman's been awesome. Let me not forget him. But we've seen this defense really solidify itself around team captain Marcus Nakeem. What are your thoughts on his leadership with this team and how he's really taking taking control of that defense, and they've succeeded?
I mean, you said it. I think Nakeem is the general in the back line. And I'm glad that you also pointed out Powers. I think Powers has been extremely underrated, especially in a position that we identified earlier in the season that we were weak in. And so Powers coming through has been absolutely crucial for this team. And, you know, other than those two, who else has been consistent? Lamb's been amazing since he's come back from injury. But Kevin Partita's also stepped up big time. He is, you know, I said it when he came in, and I've said it time in and time out. Kevin Partita is scrappy. He's going to pick up some cards, but he's also going to make some amazing defensive plays. And sometimes it's kind of like Ocom's razor, which Kevin Partita are you going to get today?
And let's not forget another player also that just recently joined the team. I think prior to joining the team was more of an offensive player or like a winger, more attacking winger. But I believe in the few appearances with Orange County, he's been playing more of that defensive role. And that's Kevin Langford. He's been really solid in his appearances on there. I think many people have looked at him and be like, he is a beast. He is also very controlled, and he really gives Orange County some great presence. I believe he came on in the San Diego match again for Alex Villanueva and was really good when he came in. Larry, your thoughts on him being added to this team and the contributions he's made in a short period?
Can't wait to have him on the show so I can talk some German again. That'll be fun. Yeah, you know what? It's only been a couple of appearances last week and this week, but this boy is strong. If you watch him play and you look at his size, that is a big dude right there. And my German is not terrible, Andy. My German used to be really good. I'm reading. yeah, you know, he's a nice player, and it looks like they've slotted him in back there on the back line. It'll be very interesting to see how he develops and grows with the team over the next couple of months as the season goes on. And then it looks like from what was announced, there is the option for him to play with the team next year. It looks like there's a club option. So I think that if he continues to show what he's been showing so far, which has been, you know, limited, obviously we're talking about maybe he's had 45 minutes of playtime so far in two games. But if he continues to show that and, you know, grow and work his way into this system, this could be a really, really strong player for us going into the playoffs and, you know, moving forward into next season.
Yeah, I think one of our biggest weaknesses last season was just defense. Injuries, a lack of replacing players that left or were injured really hurt Orange County. And I feel like now I'm super confident in what this team's defense looks like. Right, Tyler?
Yeah, there's an identity to it. And they move in sync, I think, especially when you compare to San Diego this past weekend. If you look at those goals that OC got, they all were when the San Diego back line was out of sync. There were gaps in their line, and so it was easy to bypass. But you're not really seeing that a lot with OC anymore, because they know where each other's are going to be. They know what each of their roles is. And I think that's something that we had talked about early on in the season, was a lot of the players kept getting rotated around to different positions, and there wasn't a clear defined role for some of them. You have that now. And so the players have a direction, they have tactics that they can fall back on, and we're seeing just better soccer. So because of that, I think it's bringing out the best in the players, and the back line, I think, has been one of the biggest beneficiaries of that change.
Definitely. Let's talk about this. We've talked about the tough month coming up of August, three matches against basically the top two in the East, the top team in the West. So we know that's very difficult. I want to do a little prediction. We're not doing a match prediction because we don't have that this week, but let's predict how many points will Orange County have in the month of August. Remember, 3 points for a victory, 1 point for a loss, 0 points. I'm sorry, 1 point for a draw, 0 points for a loss. Brad, what is the number? And fans, share in the comments if you're listening, what do you think the total points for Orange County will be in the month of August? Go, Brad.
All right, so remind me, it's a home game against Pittsburgh. Is it away in Charleston, or am I backwards, away in Pittsburgh, home in Charleston?
Home game against Pittsburgh and Charleston on the 16th and 19th. So next week, Wednesday and Saturday.
And then what was the third fixture? Is that also
on the road in Sacramento?
All right, thank you. Sorry about that. I should have been more prepared for this question. So if you're including the 3 points we've already achieved in the first game of August, I think a realistic would be 7 out of a possible 12. Factoring in the first game, I think 4 points in the next three games is realistic. And I'm not saying it because, oh, these are the top three teams, but we're bound to have a game where we play like we did against either Colorado Springs or the Toros. And like I said last week, a draw isn't a bad thing against these teams. San Diego going into that game, if we would have drawn, we would have all been talking today being like, yeah, it's not the end of the world. We wouldn't be as excited as we were this week. And 4 points keeps us in that conversation, 2 points a game. Or sorry, wow, math is bad. 1.5 points a game just about. It's not a season killer. This is the hardest month of the season, and at the beginning of the season, we thought March and April were the two hardest months of the season. So going now that this is the hardest month, yeah, it's 4 points is okay.
So I'm just going to say before I get to Larry and Tyler, is you act like the RGV match was a really bad match for Orange County. When you look at it, and maybe I'm the only one that thinks this, is if there is a call made when there's contact with Colin Shuttler, when the score is still 0-0, we don't give up that first goal, and then we probably are still competing and maybe getting a goal later in the match instead of it, or even drawing that match, which should have probably been the result the way that match went. So I don't look at that match as a really poor performance, and that's part of this run. I mean, really, the last poor performance is that Colorado Switchbacks match that you're talking about. So, Larry, your thoughts? Yeah, let's include – we already got 3 points in hand from the San Diego match. What's the total for Orange County, including the last three matches of the month?
I'm going to say we're going to get 8 out of 12. We are going to pick up another 5 points between these next three games from Charleston, Pittsburgh, and from SAC. And when
So no loss is what Larry is saying.
I can't envision it right now. I cannot see it with the way this team is playing. Every team is going to have that bad game. You know, every great player is going to have that horrible game. I remember Justin Verlander 1 year for Detroit was having one of the greatest seasons statistically ever. And then he went out and got bombed for 10 earned runs in 2 innings. He looked like he was a triple A pitcher. So are we due for something like that? Because we've been playing so well over the last 10. Sure. Can I see it coming this month? No, I don't. I see a win and two ties at minimum, if not a couple of wins, if not maybe 3 wins.
I will say this because our producer put a comment in the chat, says, what's an earned run? Talk to Tyler. He used to cover Guardians, I think, back when they were known as another name for a blog network that I think we sort of helped us get our start. So I'll call it out, SB Nation. Tyler.
Runs allowed divided by 9 times innings pitched.
Now you got to get, when you get all to the other analytics stats, that's where I get all confused, like the OBPS and OBS or, MLXLPTQ or whatever you call. Tyler, what do you think? What's our end result for points in the month of August?
You guys took the ones I was going to say. It's okay
to agree.
7 points is my target of what I would like them to get. And that'll keep them on pace for about 50 points at the end of the year. But I'm going to go bold. I'm going to say that they're going to get 2 more wins. And so they will end the season or the month with 9 points.
Man, I'm really, really bummed out. I thought y'all would be more hyped the way the team's playing. Be excited about this. Two of the matches at home. We all know, yeah, they're the top two teams in the East, but East is the least of the two conferences. So why are we so worried about them, right?
Brad? May I? So my problem isn't that I don't think we can't score against teams like Charleston or Sac. It's Pittsburgh has, you know, Bob Lilly is one of the best defensive coaches that the and game manager coaching staffs that the league's seen constantly year in and year out. Scoring more than one against that team is hard. And that's just where I see us struggling this month.
All right. Well, guess what? I'm saying we're getting all 12 points this month. I'm going to go bold. I'm taking that. I have confidence in this team. As long as Larry keeps doing his 2-0 for the opposing team predictions, I'm confident winning, in this.
Damn the repeat of prediction champion. I won it last year. I will go ahead and relinquish my crown, and I am going to predict 2-0 every game the rest of the season. That is a 2-0 loss by Orange County every game for the rest of the season.
Let's do this because we didn't do our update on the prediction scores. So let's do that now. So I'm going to hand it off to the magnificent Brad to share what's going on. And by the way, Brad, who out of all of us got the score prediction correct last week?
Well, you
did. Did I not submit it?
You didn't.
I didn't submit it. Ah, I did. Go back to the recordings. You'll hear. I called it 3-1 Orange County. Y'all were like making like groans when I called that out last week, and it came true. So don't bash me.
So, looking back on this last game, was our, unfortunately, it was our least predicted matchup of the year. I think it's mostly because fans were going out to the game and therefore didn't have the time to respond normally. However, we did have one perfect prediction coming from, I believe it was Haggis, who predicted a 3-1 victory with an Amon goal. And other highlight was I had 4 out of a possible 5 points. I predicted 4-1 with an Amon goal.
There we go. Keep those score predictions going on. I was going to brag, but I didn't submit my prediction last week, so I don't get to brag. But go back, listen to the recording, listen to our old episode. You'll be able to hear. I did say 3-1, and I'm almost certain y'all were groaning about it, thinking I was like off my rockers for predicting 3-1 Orange County against San Diego. Go, Larry.
I need to take us back a little bit in tonight's conversation, and I need to get this out before we end the conversation. There is an Orange County Soccer Club executive who, in a conversation with me, made mention that if Tomas Amon scored against his former team, San Diego Loyal, that they were going to build a statue of him outside of Championship Stadium. Now, I don't know if that Orange County Soccer Club team executive is watching, but if you are, I think that it should go right by, just left of the entrance, so that when people are walking by, they can go and they can touch the statue of Tomas Amon, because he not only scored one, but he scored two. Are you listening out there? You know who you are. You know who you are. I'm coming to talk to you Wednesday.
Gnarly. It's fine. Like, you can say Gnarly's name.
Gnarly, I'm going to say this, Larry. I'm sure they didn't make any commitments on how big that statue would be. So I wouldn't be surprised if they created like a little, if you all remember people that were like from the 90s, the starting lineup figures, they're going to like get one of those and glue it onto like the ground right next to the entrance. Just like do one that looks like Tomas Amon in an Orange County kit. They don't have to make it big.
They didn't do a bobblehead. I want the statue. I want it. Tomas Amon. And I am going to hound, like we have hounded them about La Banda and rings and all that stuff. I am hounding for a statue.
There we go. Any last thoughts on how the season's going from anyone before we go to our random thoughts for the evening or for this episode? All right. Nothing. So we're going to get on to our random thoughts. Before we do that though, I did want to give a shout out for anyone that follows one of our favorite players over the last few seasons, Miko Kaningas. He shared a video of him opening his ring on, I believe it was Instagram. So if you haven't gotten a chance to watch that, Also, hey, follow us on TikTok. We're now on TikTok. We're posting clips of some of the player interviews on TikTok. So you can actually just sort of get your dose of some Orange County Soccer Club, Orange and Black Soccer Cast talk as you're swiping through all your TikTok videos that you're watching and all those people doing the same dance over and over. You can get a little break from that and hear from some of the players. We try and get some of the good clips and put them on there. One clip you can watch on there, I'm just going to call it out. This is just from the game. I was there at the match and I got a couple clips of the goal number two and goal number three. My favorite part of goal number three, if you go watch it, is the goal gets scored. The team's celebrating. Marcus Nakim comes running into the pile of players celebrating, pushes right through them, comes up to the traveling supporters and gives a big old, you know, double fist pump to the fans and screams like, and waves them to get louder. I thought that was just funny. Cause he just like pushed his way through his teammates. He's like, I don't care about you guys. I'm going to the fans. I'm going to celebrate with them. Go check that out on our TikTok. You can see what I'm talking about. Let's get to our random thoughts. I'm going to go to you first, Brad, for your random thought. Again, Tyler, since you're not here all the time, random thought is anything. Could be soccer, could be non-soccer. I'm sure what's on your mind. Go, Brad.
All right. So I got two for you this week. The first one is I know that Championship Soccer was back in England this week, but Premier League is back this weekend, and I'm excited for that. Get to see a kind of new look Everton play. My album that I'm going to go with for the week is this guy right here. This is the Foo Fighters, But Here We Are. This was their album they created after the passing of their drummer, and it is very sentimental, and I love the artwork. The disc is white, and, you know, it's just a very good album with a very solemn message of missing people around you.
Thank you for sharing that, Brad. Larry, your random thought, or I guess thoughts, if we're doing multiple thoughts now. Go for it.
Thoughts. First of all, we did cake testing tonight. Would anybody like a little piece of cake? No?
That looks like it's just buttercream.
It is. I can't eat that. It's good. Also, my amazing fiance, is soon to be wife, is allowing me. I just suggested it and she ran with it, but we are spending our honeymoon weekend in Monterey, October 14th. We will be at the game. We got tickets on the field, on the two seats that are closest to the Orange County Soccer Club bench. So that is where we are spending our honeymoon weekend, because she's awesome and she loves me. And thank God she tolerates me, unlike Andy.
I'm just sort of sad for y'all that the match wasn't going to be in Vegas so you guys could purchase the poolside or the pitchside kiddie pools for your honeymoon. That would have been the best. Because, hey, you give her a poolside honeymoon in Las Vegas. What's better?
Monterey is no joke, though.
Good idea. and speaking of English Championship, my Black Cats did not perform well on Sunday. But that's okay. There's 45 more games to go. I'm not worried.
All right, 45 more matches to go. Tyler, random thoughts.
First is, I hope, hope the women's national team did not bring Vlatko back on the plane. I hope he's not coming back. And I've been trying to get more into rum recently, and it's a very underrated spirit. You all should check it out because there's more than just Malibu. There's some actually really good rum out there. So give it a try.
So we're going to have to get together, Tyler. You know, we have connections because, you know, UCI and then the rum thing now. I've never found a fellow person that actually likes to sip some rum. That is my preferred spirit at the moment. I have some really good rums, but I'd love to hear what ones you've tried as well. I haven't gone and splurged on like $100 or $150 bottle of rum yet, but there's some good ones that are really good for sipping.
Yeah, this is a Dorley's 12. It's very good. And someone just commented Appleton. That's what I had the other night when I watched the women's team lose. So yeah, both of those are great.
The one I've been liking is a Plantation 20 year that I got as a gift as a coach. One of my assistant coach gave me the bottle because he knew that I was starting to dig rum. So he bought it for me and it was actually really smooth, but really good flavors. And, you know, it's great. So we'll have to talk more rum talk as we get on. I really don't have a crazy or a big random thought. My random thought for this weekend is just props to all the traveling fans that made their way down to San Diego and made that experience for the team, the players, and just for anyone else around. Amazing. And also props to San Diego for being great hosts. I spoke to many of the San Diego fans. They actually, my family and some friends that came along with us, we went to a little restaurant just down the hill before the match. And as we're pulling up, there was a group of San Diego Loyal fans sitting on the patio. And we're like, uh-oh, we're walking into some enemy territory here. But they were really cool. I actually went out and talked to them, introduced myself, and we talked for a good 10, 15 minutes. They were a lot more confident than they probably should have been heading into that match. But hey, you know, you're a fan of a team. You're going to be confident when a visiting team is coming in. But we discussed things, including the MLS coming in and sort of invading their area. We talked about Chargers leaving San Diego and how horrible that was. Props to the San Diego fans that I got a chance to interact with and speak with, because y'all were awesome hosts. In the end, that's why we love this game, is we've made friendships from being Orange County fans, but we've also made friendships from meeting fans of other teams. That's why Brad's part of this podcast, is because Dylan and I went to Reno and he offered to, you know, show us around the town and hang out with us for a bit. And when Reno left the league, he's like, hey, I need a team. I'll come talk soccer with you guys. And we've made friends even from rivals like Phoenix and San Antonio. We have friends from all over this country based off of just the love of soccer. So again, props to anyone that, I like to call them enemies still. I don't care. And you could be friends with your enemy. I mean, look at the Civil War. There was, you know, after the war was over, people were friends, you know, not everyone, but there were people that literally were friends during the war, and, you know, their friendship remained. Right. So, I'm not saying soccer is that, but apologize for anyone that's thinking I'm doing that, but let's wrap this up. I got to stop talking. And Larry, is that Carrie laughing over what I'm just sort of rambling about here?
No, that was just me laughing.
Okay. Oh, that was your laugh.
Comparing the Civil War friends and enemies to San Diego Loyal and OCSC, that is that's a reach. That is a big reach. But you know what?
That is a reach. That is a reach.
Google out and judge.
Hey, our producer is getting mad at us for this conversation, so let's wrap this thing up. I want to thank Tyler.
It's only 57:30. Calm down, Andy.
Hey, Tyler, thank you for spending some time with us and helping us out, talking about this midseason report. Obviously, Brad, Larry, thank you for everything. Andy, our producer, for all the listeners that were participating in the chats, thank you for doing so as well. We appreciate it. Hey, we'll wrap this up. We'll give you a couple extra minutes to do what you want. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast. We are out.